In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Memento mori, remember death. This has been the counsel of Christians from the earliest times. Remember that you will die. Saint Benedict in the 6th century included it in his rule. Keep death daily before your eyes, he told the monks living under his care. All Souls' Day is our annual reminder of our own mortality. It is a reminder that each of us will die one day, and we know not when that day will come. We live in a culture which is paradoxically obsessed with death, and yet which encourages us to hide from it. Images of graphic violence and death are common in the media we consume. Sometimes it is there to scare or thrill us, other times it is for us to laugh off. Although we are surrounded by these depictions, it is actually very rare for a modern American to have had any experience with death in real life. It is increasingly uncommon for us to be with our loved ones as they breathe their last, and even rarer for us to care for their bodies in death. For the entirety of history, this would have been a fundamental human experience. Dead friends and family members were cared for and buried by those who loved them. Only in the past century or so has death become abstracted from actual encounters with those who have died. Certainly, this impoverishes us, taking away the opportunity to have some degree of closure by caring for the bodies of our beloved dead. Our unfamiliarity with death as it actually exists has without doubt also contributed to our increased fear of death and our tendency to pretend that it shall never come our way. Christians, on the other hand, have always refused this sort of denial of reality. Memento mori, remember you will die. The end goal of this reminder is not despair or morbidness. Instead, holding death before our eyes causes us to take seriously the time we are given, to live lives of joy and integrity, serving Christ and serving others, preparing for the life that is to come. All Souls' Day is also a time for us to remember with fondness our beloved friends and family who have died, to tell their stories and recall cherished memories of them. No doubt that is why many of you are here tonight. In many parts of the world, it is common custom for Christians today to go to the graves of relatives to offer their flowers and candles as a way of showing love for them and as a concrete expression of our prayers. On All Souls' Day, children hear stories of family members they never met, and they are reminded that, in Christ, they are connected to those who have gone before. We are part of a bigger human family, which includes those we no longer see in this life. It is also a time to recall and pray for those who are remembered by no one else. On All Souls' Day, we pray not only for those we love, but for all the departed, especially those who have long been forgotten. We hold before God not only the persons who lived exemplary lives of faith, but also those whose wills were not perfectly conformed to Christ, those who struggled with persistent sin, those who were unrepentant, those who turned their backs on truth and goodness, those who carried with them guilt and woundedness, those whose true healing could only come at the conclusion of their lives. We pray for them, the good, the bad, the ugly, the unremarkable, and the extraordinary alike. We make a small act of love, that is charity, by praying for all who have been created in the image and likeness of God. The content of our prayers for the departed today emphasizes our role as intercessors in the communion of saints. We ask that God would look with mercy on those who have died. We pray that they would be cleansed and healed from all sin, and that, as the prayer book puts it, they may go from strength to strength in the life of perfect service in God's heavenly kingdom. It is, I think, rather odd and certainly an unfortunate thing that some Christians have abandoned prayers for the dead, something so universally practiced from the earliest days of the church. Of course, we know that some of the earliest believers gathered at the tombs of the martyrs and apostles to offer the Holy Eucharist, to ask for the prayers of the saints, and to pray for them. It is the natural human response when confronted by the grave. In those moments, what else is there to do but pray? It is, of course, worth noting that all four Gospels commend the example of St. Joseph of Arimathea, who lovingly cared for the body of Jesus after he died on the cross. When you look at it, the whole vast landscape of early Christian spirituality is full of the tombs of martyrs and saints and of the ordinary faithful. The Christian grave was, in ancient thought, the intersection of heaven and earth, a place of devotion and prayer and spiritual union with those departed in Christ. From the very beginning, Christians believed in the power and communion of prayer, a power which was neither weakened nor broken by death. Within the Anglican tradition, prayers for the departed have always been offered, both in our public liturgies and personal devotions. C.S. Lewis, who was more of an Anglo-Catholic than our evangelical friends usually realize, addressed the topic late in his life. He wrote, "Of course I pray for the dead. The action is so spontaneous, so all but inevitable, that only the most compulsive theological case against it could deter me. And I hardly know how the rest of my prayers would survive if those for the dead were forbidden. At my age, the majority of those I love best are dead. What sort of intercourse with God could I have if what I love best were unmentionable to him?" I think he echoes the feelings of Christians in every time and in every place whose faith in Christ and love for others compelled them to both recall and intercede for the departed before the Lord. It is also a remarkable privilege, I think. It is our honor and joy that at every Mass we may call to mind those who have died and ask God to draw them in more deeply to his presence, to pray that they, like each one of us, might grow in knowledge and love of Christ without end. After all, that is exactly what heaven is: eternal growth and sanctification in the never-ending presence of God. Here, at this altar, where the Eucharistic sacrifice is offered, here where the merits of Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension are gifted to you and to me in the sacrament of his body and blood, here in the Mass, we lift up all those who have gone before and are now at rest. In the Holy Eucharist, in this most sacred action which transcends both time and space, we are able to draw near to our departed loved ones. Here, the church militant, that is, you and me, the church expectant, those who have died and are being made ready to receive the beatific vision, and the church triumphant in heaven, all are brought together by Christ at his altar. The angels and saints and holy souls all join with us in prayer and in thanksgiving and in intercession and in worship of the Lord Jesus. On All Souls' Day, we emphasize the stark reality of death and our obligation as Christians to pray for the dead. The liturgical color for the Mass is black for this reason. Today, we must not live in denial of death. But we Christians also must not allow ourselves to live in fear of death. Even though we all must die, our hope does not end in death. For this reason, I think All Souls' Day is also a day of anticipation and joy. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, our enslavement to death has ended. No longer does it reign over us, producing hopelessness and despair. No longer are we to fear it, because we who have already died with Christ in baptism and who give ourselves to him in faith, we will be resurrected in the flesh to live with him forever. Thus, for the Christian, death is, in a way, only the gate by which we enter into deeper fellowship with God. Listen to some of the words we heard in today's lessons. From the book of Isaiah, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces." From the first letter to the Thessalonians, "The dead in Christ will rise first, then those who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them." From John's Gospel, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." These are statements of great hope, of joy, of good news. Death is no longer death to us, for it has been stripped of its weight, it has been stripped of its sting, of its power by Christ our God. And so as we offer this Holy Mass for all the departed today, we are not to be as those who grieve but have no hope. For as the Church proclaims at Easter, Christ has risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. May the souls of the departed rest in peace, and may light perpetual shine upon them. Amen.